Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. I'm going to continue teaching tonight along the same line of justice, but tonight I want to talk about your biggest and most dangerous enemy. Your biggest and most dangerous enemy. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. Page 685, if you have a scope of your Bible. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 26, please. And verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Did you know hardly ever anywhere will you find in the same book of the Bible the same verse? Hardly ever. In fact, I'm trying to think of some other case. Maybe you can. Now, there are verses that are alike. For example, the just shall live by faith. It's found in Romans 1 and Galatians 3 or 4 and Hebrews. That same verse, the just shall live by faith, even then it's not worded the same way up until you get to that one line. That one line is mentioned. But you'll have a hard time finding any verse in the Bible that word for word is given the same time or twice in the same book of the Bible. Now, it sounds like to me it must be pretty important. The Holy Spirit gave us this book, and this book was written before there was ever a world. Ever was a time when it was not. The eternal Word of God is what we have. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, the Bible said, Psalmist said. So, consequently, this must be pretty important. The very same words, same word, nine words. I think that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 words. Just like I said a while ago, 19 words. And that's pretty good. I got half of it. I got the 9 in there. And 19 words, same words, same order, and twice in the same book of the Bible. Our Heavenly Father, this book is thy book, and these truths are thy truths. And there's nothing in here by uh-oh or accident. Every word in this book's on purpose, and so it's certainly a purposeful thing that there are two verses in Proverbs exactly alike. And so we want to know what it teaches and what they teach. Help us to learn the truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Open there, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22, please. And we're going to look at it for a few moments tonight. That's the only verse we'll study. Sometimes we take a subject, and we'll read numbers of verses and study several passages. Sometimes we spend all of our time on one passage, and tonight we're going to spend all of our time on these 9 or 19, whichever ideas I've forgotten, words that we have in these two verses that are exactly alike. Father, teach us now. You have something for us. Now, we'll not be able to get it unless we pay attention. And I know of a fact that this passage tonight is life or death, absolutely life or death. So help us to listen unto life, avoiding death because of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to take in that 26th chapter and 22nd verse, I'm going to give you a brief word study. The first word I want you to notice there, the word words. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now the word words, this word words, it could be translated one of two ways. First way, a tasty, deadly morsel. That's one way this word words is translated. A tasty, deadly morsel. Or, in some places, it's called words of sport. Words of sport, like you make sport out of talking. Now, so that means that it says the tasty, deadly morsel, or the words of sport. Some folks make a sport out of gossip. It's their recreation. And so that's what that means. Now it says the words of a talebearer. That word talebearer, we learned last week, means what? Anybody here last week? Spice peddler, right. Somebody who peddles something spicy, or spice peddler. So it says the words or the tasty, deadly morsel, or words of sport of the spice peddler. All right, look at it again. The words of a talebearer or spice peddler are the wounds. That word wounds means deadly wounds. It means wounds unto death. Something is going to die here. Let's look at it again. The words are the tasty, deadly morsels of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, the word belly there means the entire human cavity. It means that which holds all the vital organs in our body, the entire human cavity. So when it says that the words of a talebearer go down into the innermost parts of the belly, it means it goes down to the entire, every organ in the body. Have you been reading lately and following the scientific discoveries they're making about what a good spirit has to do with health, good health? It's been in the newspapers all over America. And that is how a bad spirit, a bad attitude, or hatred affects your health. They're finally catching up with the Bible. The Bible says that having a good spirit or a good attitude or a happy countenance doeth good like a medicine, the Bible says. And I could go on and teach a lesson on that, how that the right attitude helps a person's health. So it says that the words or tasted deadly morsels of a talebearer or a spice peddler are as wounds, or deadly wounds, that go down into the innermost parts of the belly or down into the innermost parts of our being. Now, it just sounds like somebody's about to die here, doesn't it? We have a deadly wound. And now, let me say this. Don't miss this. It does not say that the words of the talebearer cause a deadly wound. It says the words of the talebearer are the deadly wound. It doesn't say here that the words of a talebearer cause wounds that go down the innermost part of the belly. No, it says the words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down the innermost part of the belly. Now, somebody's about to die. Look at me. Somebody's about to die here. Now, there are only three people involved here. Let me use you three guys over here on the end. Just stand up right there, if you would, please. And that's good right there. And face the people there. All right. Now, I'm going to let Brother O'Clair be the person that does the talking. He's the talebearer. He's a spice peddler. All of you who know him know he's perfectly cast for this part. And then, Brother Hooker, I'm going to let you be the one that to whom he tells the spicy stuff. And Brother Jeff, you're going to be the one about whom he tells the spicy stuff. All right, who's the talebearer? O'Clair. And then the one who hears is whom? Brother Hooker. And the one about whom the spice is told is whom? Brother Jeff Owens. All right, so you have it. I'm going to let, Brother, I want this mic right here also. I'm going to let, turn it up, please. I'm going to let Brother O'Clair here be man number one. Man number one, he's the one who tells the tale. And man number two is Brother Bob Hooker. He's going to be the one who hears the tale. And then man number three is going to be Brother Jeff Owens. He's the one about whom the tale is told. Now somebody's going to die here, because it says very plainly that words of a talebearer are as deadly wounds that go down in the innermost parts of the belly. Now, we've got to figure out whose belly is going to get this, because somebody is going to die here. All right, now I want you to notice the one talking and the one to whom he's talking and the one about whom he's talking. Number one, number two, number three. All right, what number is the man about whom he's talking? Three. What number is the man who's doing the talking? One. What number is the man who hears the talking? Number two. All right, now then, you have those three men. Only three individuals are here. Now then, one of these men is in danger of death. The Bible says that the words of a talebearer, I have up here tonight a sack. I have in this sack a beautiful piece of crystal. I have here some orange juice, and I'm going to pour this orange juice into this glass here. And then I also have something else I plan to pour in here. I have some poison I plan to pour in here. Notice the bones and the skull there. I have some poison I'm going to pour into here. I think I am. There we go. There is the poison. All right. Now then, if I walked up tonight and I said to you, I've got something I want you to drink. In fact, Brother Colton, I'd like you, if you don't mind, to drink this. There are some people I'd like to really drink it, but I'd like you to drink this, Brother Colton. You want to drink this? How do you like that? He said, if you want me to, I'll drink it. That's what you call real loyalty. Yield not to temptation, or yielding is fun. I mean, sin. And, all right? Now, you drink that, and it'll kill you. But I'll guarantee you one thing, it tastes good, and you'll die happy. You see, it is a tasty, deadly morsel, is what it is. Now, the truth is, that's what the talebearer is. His words are that. The words of the talebearer are a tasty, deadly morsel. And he is the spice peddler. Now, I want you to notice this. Tell him, just whisper something to him about Jeff there. All right, now then, I will tell you exactly what happened. Number one thinks he's destroying number three. Right? He thinks he's destroying number three. Number two is being destroyed. The one who drinks this, not the one that serves it, the one who drinks this is the one to be destroyed. All right? So, the words of the talebearer are like this poison right here, though it tastes good. All right? I said number one thinks he's destroying whom? Number one thinks he's destroying whom? But whom is he destroying? Number two. But number one is already destroyed. He's already destroyed. He's already drunk this. And he's already destroyed. So number one doesn't know he's destroyed, but he is destroyed. Number one is trying to destroy number three, but he's destroying number two. And number three is the only one not destroyed. That's interesting, isn't it? I guess it's not. But I thought it was. That's interesting. You see, good. Thank you very much. Welcome home. And all right. But there's something interesting. Here's the guy that they're trying to destroy, right? Number three is the guy they're trying to destroy. But who's destroyed? Number two is destroyed. Number one's already been destroyed. So number three, the one that they think they're destroying, is the only one not destroyed. So if I try to keep you from being a talebearer, am I trying to help the person the most about whom you're talking? No, I'm trying to help the person the most to whom you're talking. See, you've already died. You've already got the deadly stuff in you. You've already got the wounds. So the only one not destroyed is the one they're trying to destroy. Hear me carefully now. There's no way in this world that number one can destroy number three. No way. But in coming and saying, don't serve this to him, but I want you to. Now then, he is going to feed him some garbage. Now, see, here's what you think. When I preach like this, as I do often, especially in the last few weeks, you think I'm trying to keep people from hurting me, or keep people from hurting the people they criticize, or keep people from hurting number three. But no, that's not it. I'm trying to keep you from getting hurt. I'm trying to keep you from getting poison. So I said five things. Number one, I said, number one thinks he's destroying number three. I said, number two is the one being destroyed. I said, number three, number one is already been destroyed. I said, number four, number three then is the only one not destroyed. And number five, therefore, the only one not destroyed is the one they're trying to destroy. Now listen to me. When somebody brings you a morsel about anybody, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about anybody, you're the one that's going to get destroyed. You're the one that's getting the poison. He didn't hear the poison. He's the guy that got the poison. And the Bible says he's the guy that's going to die. All right? Thank you, fellas. Of course, the service is going to see that still. I don't want anybody to come up here and drink that. Well, most anybody I don't want to come up here and drink that. You fellas can drink it if you'd like. But anyway, all right. Now then, I said number one, somebody's about to die. I said number two, only three people are involved here. The person who's speaking, the person to whom he's speaking, and the person about whom he's speaking. I said number three, the one in danger is number two, because number three they're trying to destroy number three, but the poison is entering into number two. Now you listen to me. You are taking upon you death. God says as dangerous as deadly poison. When you listen to evil speaking and talebearing about somebody else. Now, I'm not talking, probably not one person not in this room would call yourself a gossip. But you listen to stuff you shouldn't listen to. Now, when you take that stuff into you, you're not destroying the person about whom the talk is. You're destroying yourself. Now, you listen to me. You run from tailbearing like you'd run from a loaded pistol. You run from tailbearing like you'd run from a knife in the hands of an enemy who's about to stab you, and you run from tailbearing like you'd run from poison. Because God says, look, we don't care what God said. We don't believe that anyhow, do we? Does anybody here believe the Word of God? All right, then God said that when you hear the spicy stuff that a tailbearer tells you, you're taking into your innermost being, into the very belly, or the innermost part of that, all that fills your bodily cavity, you're taking into yourself poison that will kill, and you're a fool to do it because it's you that gets destroyed. There's no way to tell you how many people a guy like Dick Mischief can destroy. There's no way to tell you. There's no way to tell you how many people he has destroyed. But he hasn't destroyed me. I'm well and happy in the land of the free. And destroyed me. But he's destroyed literally scores of people. Why? It's the guy that drinks the poison that gets destroyed. He's the one to whom death comes. Now, I said number one, somebody's about to die. I said number two, only three people are involved here. I said number three, the one in danger is number two. I said number one thinks he's destroying number three, but number two is being destroyed. Number one's already destroyed, and number three is the only one not destroyed. So the only one not destroyed is the one they're trying to destroy, you see. So if somebody comes up to you and tries to hurt a third party, what you don't understand is they're trying to hurt you. And they may not even know they're trying to hurt you. But anytime that you listen to something you shouldn't hear, it becomes a part of your innermost being. I'm thinking right now of three or four statements I heard my daddy say I wish I'd never heard. After I got out of the Army, I worked with my dad, laying oak floor, a hanging drywall, or a sheetrock, we called it those days. And I'm thinking of some statements I heard my dad say. My dad, I was ex-paratrooper. My dad figured that I lived a godless life in the paratroopers, and so he just came right out and thought I'd enjoy some of the things he said. But I'd give anything in the world tonight if I could forget three or four things my dad had said. It's part of me. I know a joke tonight that's as filthy as joke as you'll ever hear in your life, but I heard my dad tell to somebody in my presence now. It's a part of me. I can't get it out. It's in there. I mean, it's gone to the innermost part of my physical cavity, and it's there, and everything that you listen to goes to your innermost being and into your computer, and you can't get it out. It's there. It's there to stay, and it's going to destroy you if you keep on drinking poison. The pitiful one, number four, I want to say this, the pitiful one is number two. Stand up there again, fellas. Number one over there is a destroyer. He's wicked. He's evil. Not just sinful, he's evil. He's trying to destroy number three. But the sad case here is number two. Because number two usually is a pretty decent guy. He just doesn't have the courage to tell number one to shut up. And usually it's because he's a pretty decent guy, so he listens to number one. But once he has listened, it's just like pouring this poison into his body. I mean, it's there. It's there. And once you take garbage into your mind, it goes down to the innermost part of your being, and it's there. And so the tragedy is that usually the people that get destroyed are pretty decent people. They just listen. And so, in this case, he's not a decent person, number two is usually he's sometimes a pretty good guy, but he never... the less is destroyed, and he's sometimes just an innocent hearer. Now, you listen to me. I don't care who it's about. I'm not trying to defend myself tonight. I don't care who it's about. If it's this guy talking about this guy, I don't care who it's about. Don't you listen to it. You're the one that's going to die. You're the one that's going to be hurt. If somebody walks up to you and says something about Jeff Owens trying to hurt Jeff, Jeff will not hear it. And Jeff will not be hurt unless Jeff decides to be hurt, but you would have taken into your innermost being, into your belly, something that will destroy you. Now listen, I know what I'm talking about. Folks, I have been pastoring for over 43 years. I've pastored more people than any man, hear me now, in the history of the United States of America. And I've probably pastored more people than any man who's ever lived since Jesus started the church in Jerusalem. I know I've counseled with more people than any preacher ever has counseled with. I know what destroys people. Being talked about does not destroy people. Being talked to is what destroys people. And I'm saying, run from it like you'd run from a snake. Run from talk about anybody. Run from tail-bearing. Run from spicy talk. Run from the long tongue. Run from gossip. Run! Not for the sake of the person about whom he's talking, but for your own sake. It'll destroy you. Thank you, fellas. I said, number one, somebody's about to die. I said, number two, only three people are involved here. The one who's talking, the one to whom he's talking, the one about whom he's talking. I said, number three, the one in danger is number two, because number one thinks he's destroying number three, but number two is but one being destroyed, and number one is already destroyed. Number three is the only one not destroyed, and that's the one he's trying to destroy. Number four, the pitiful one is number two. Number five, number two must then learn that it's he that will die. Hey, somebody's got to die. It talks about a deadly wound. A deadly wound is something that kills you. Somebody's got to die. Is it number one that's got to die? Yes or no? Yes or no? Number one's already dead. Is it number three that's got to die? Yes or no? No. It's number two that's got to die. So we must learn that tail-bearing kills us. You say you mean kills us physically? Listen to me while I'm talking. I'm up here trying to help you, and you're back there giggling and laughing. You ought to be sitting up straight and listening to me. You need to hear every word. You ought to sit up like E.F. Hutton is talking. Every time anybody opens his Bible, I start teaching it. Now you listen to me. You sit there and put that telephone to your ear while somebody talks about Mrs. So-and-so and what she heard, and you are taking poison into the innermost part of your being. Bible says it. You're self-destructing. You're committing spiritual suicide. I wish I could talk some sense in your head. I'm not here tonight in defense of the person about whom the tale bearer is talking. I'm here tonight in your defense. Don't listen to it. If somebody in your dormitory room decides to run somebody else down in some of the dormitory room, don't you listen to it. Don't listen to it. Somebody calls you on the telephone, said you hear about so-and-so, don't listen to it. There's poison there. Don't live. Run like you'd run from this juice here. Run from it. Number six. Now listen carefully. Stand up there against those. Number two, Bob Hooker has got to realize, and if you ever realize this, it'll change your whole attitude about listening to tale bearers. Bob Hooker has got to realize that number one is trying to kill him. Listen to me. Bob Hooker has got to realize that Bob O'Clair is trying to kill him. Now, Bob O'Clair does not know he's trying to kill him. Bob O'Clair thinks he's trying to kill Jeff Owens. But the truth is, he's trying to kill Bob Hooker and doesn't know it. Consequently, Bob Hooker is going to have to look at Bob O'Clair as one who's trying to kill him. Now, if Bob O'Clair came up and said, Bob Hooker, I got a gun here. Would you mind me shooting you in the head? Let's go down to McDonald's. Let me shoot you in the head. Let's sit across the table and have a meal with each other so I can shoot you in the head. Why, you'd say, what do you think? I'm a fool. No bigger fool than you are. When you go down to McDonald's, they'll shoot you in the heart, shoot you in the mind, and fill you with poison. God said he's trying to kill him, so he's a murderer. I say 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 he's a murderer. And Bob Hooker needs to look at him. Listen, anytime somebody comes to me and says to me, did you hear about a certain preacher? Brother, immediately I say to him, no, and if it is bad, I do not want to hear it. And people all in this room tonight have been to my office, and you start telling me something about your relationship with your husband, maybe, and I'll say, hold it, I don't want to know anything unless it's something I need to know to help you. You've heard me say that. I don't want to know. I don't want to drink one, I just spilled it, I don't want to drink one drop of that poison. I don't care how good it tastes. It looks like a beautiful glass of orange juice. I don't care how good it tastes. I don't want to drink one drop of that poison. And brother, I am not going to drink it. I'm not going to destroy myself. Look, you don't need a negative, dead, spiritual preacher up here on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. You need a man that's on top side. You don't need a man that's got corruption down inside, and his spirit's been killed, and his enthusiasm's been killed, and his zeal's been killed. And I guarantee you, you keep on listening to garbage about anybody, and it'll destroy you. I said destroy you. So you're a murderer, Bob. You're trying to kill that guy. You don't know it. You're shooting at him, but you're going to shoot him. And an accidental death, you're just as dead if the guy shot you on purpose. Thank you, fellas. All right. Number seven, then these verses are warnings. These verses are warnings. Warnings to Bob Hooker. Bob, don't listen. Stand up there again, fellas. Start to talk to him, Bob. Hey, hold it. Hooker, don't listen. The words of a talebearer are as deadly wounds and go down to innermost parts of the belly. He's gonna wreck you. He'll wreck your spirit. He'll wreck your joy. He'll wreck your trust. He'll wreck your confidence. Don't listen to him. Start Bob again. Hold it. God says the second time here. Same words, 19 words. Twice in one book. Don't do it. And that's what this book is saying here. This book is saying, okay, now then, I'm not here. And he tries to tell you. What are you going to do, Bob? Now, what you don't know is that's a perfect example. You didn't know what to do, but you do know what to do. There are two words in the English language called shut up. I told you last Wednesday night what to do, but you didn't listen. Now, that's Bob Hooker's a good man, a good guy, and that's exactly why we self-destruct. We self-destruct because we don't want to kick it in the shin. Guy's trying to kill you, man, and you sit there stuttering while he's loading the gun.
What's wrong with you?
Now, if he listens to what he's going to say about Jeff Owens, into the innermost being of Bob Hooker goes a deadly wound. I said, a deadly wound. You don't believe this. If you believe this, you'd run from gossip like you'd run from a flying bullet. You'd run from gossip like you'd run with a guy that's got a knife and threatened to stab you. You'd run from gossip just like you'd run from a fellow who's got some poison trying to pour it down your throat. Now, I'll tell you something. Mr. Saddam Hussein is not as deadly as a gossip. I'm not defending Jeff Owens tonight. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to hurt Jeff Owens, though you shouldn't. But Jeff Owens is not going to be hurt one-tenth as much as Bob Hooker's going to be hurt. Because the poison did not go into Jeff Owens' mouth, it went into Bob Hooker's mouth, and the dirty talk didn't go into Jeff Owens' ear, it went into Bob Hooker's ear, and I'm pleading tonight, not for my sake, not for Jeff's sake, not for anybody's being criticized sake, but for your sake, don't drink the poison. Thank you, fellas. So these verses are warnings. Watch out, he's about to kill you. Or don't listen. Kills what? Kills what? Turn to Proverbs 18:14. I'll show you the first thing kills. Proverbs 18:14. Read it out loud, please. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? That's a word wound there. That means wound unto death. Now, follow me carefully. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. And that word infirmity means all kinds of negative things. You keep a man's spirit right, he'll be happy while he's sick. You keep a man's spirit right, he'll be happy while he's attacked. You keep a man's spirit right, he'll be happy while he's broke. Now, the devil's after your spirit. A wounded spirit. Now, how do you get a wounded spirit? By taking negatives into the innermost part of yourself. A wounded spirit. Let me illustrate what I mean. Many years ago, I was pastoring in Garland, Texas. My old pastor, J.C. Sizemore, was the object of a conspiracy at the Hillcrest Baptist Church where I grew up. And the people tried to vote him out. That's about 1956, I think. 55, 56. Now, that's been 35 years ago. I still don't know what the people tried to vote him out for. I don't know. I have no idea. I'll tell you what it did. I got in my little car, and I drove from Garland, Texas, over to Dallas, Texas, in Oak Cliff, where our church was. And I walked into my pastor's study, and I knocked on the door, and I said, "Preacher, I'm reporting for duty." I grew up in this church. I know most everybody in this church. I know every deacon by his first name. I'm reporting for duty. He said, "Let me tell you, Brother Jack," he said, "who's against me?" He called some of my best friends' names. He called folks that taught me in Sunday school who were against him. I said, "Doesn't make any difference to me. You're my preacher. You've been attacked. What can I do?" He said, "Preacher, revive a meeting for me." I went over and preached the whole week, Sunday night through Sunday night, my home church, revival campaign. Stood beside my pastor every night and put my arms around him and said, "I want you to know I'm my preacher." Somebody said, "You don't know what he's been accused of." I said, "No, I don't, and that's a compliment. I'm not going to take that stuff into my mind. I'm going to take it." I still don't know. And my pastor's in heaven right now. You sit with the house. You think he's innocent or guilty? How dare you even ask that question?
Boy, I tell you what, you say, you sure did your preacher a favor. I did myself a favor. Because I did not take into my innermost being a deadly wound. I didn't know what it was. Years ago, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. wrote a book against Dr. Rice. So what was it about? Don't know. Never read it. Whose side are you on? Dr. Rice's. Why? Two reasons. One, he's my friend. Number two, he's attacked. Never read it. You say, why didn't you read it? To find out the truth. I wouldn't have found out the truth if I'd read it. You say, Dr. Bob, know what you're saying? Yeah, you will then. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you only hurt yourself when you listen to the accuser. So I don't know what he said. Still don't know what he said. I will say this too. Once a person comes to me with some stuff that's bad about anybody, I look on them like a person that has a loaded gun pointed at my head. I look at them like a person that has a holding at my throat. I look at bad stuff. Why? Let me tell you why. I've got to walk in this pulpit next Sunday morning. You don't need me to walk in here full of negatives. You need somebody to walk through that door that's on top side. And by the way, I'm on top side. But I don't stay on top side just because I pray. Though I do. I don't stay on top side just because I read this book. Though I do. I stay on top side because I don't talk to folks on bottom side. I will not allow something that God calls poison, deadly poison, to enter my mind. I won't do that. And by the way, let me say this. Once your spirit has been destroyed, it's almost impossible to get it back. It's almost impossible to get it back. And your spirit will be destroyed if you keep listening to garbage about anybody. About anybody. It'll not destroy them unless they self-destruct because of the way they respond. But it'll destroy you. There's something else that'll kill. Not only will kill your spirit, it'll kill your trust. It'll kill your trust. That's the question, right? Do you know what I get criticized for more than any other thing? Cutting up too much in the pulpit. That's the biggest criticism I get. Now you'd think I'd get criticized for crying in the pulpit. Many enemies I got. Well, nice. With all the enemies you got, how do you keep on top side? I don't know where they are. They're not a part of my life. I don't read their letters. Don't take their phone calls. Well, you say, Brother House, why? Because I love you. Well, what's it got to do with loving us? Because I want you to have a preacher's on top side. You reckon that maybe the fact that I do not take this poison in has anything to do with my having a healthy spirit? Nine places out of ten where I go preach, when I leave, the pastor tells me this, Brother Hiles, you have done more for the spirit of our church just with your attitude and your outlook than anybody's ever been here. Not just my preaching, my outlook. The fact that I enjoy life. Well, I wouldn't enjoy life if I was listening to what Brother Bob McClair says about Jeff Owens. Because that's poison, and I'm not going to take poison. What else will it kill? It'll kill your spirit. It'll also, secondly, kill your trust. I want to say this. One of the saddest statements I ever hear is this. I've just about lost all my confidence in preachers.
I hear that over and over and over again. Now, do you know why you've almost lost your confidence in preachers? Because you have been drinking poison. Or plumbers, for that matter. I've lost my confidence in plumbers. Not me, but I'll tell you who I've lost my confidence in. But I'm saying that the losing of the confidence is not because of the actions of somebody else. It's because you've been drinking poison. Now listen to me. You can take any profession you want to and destroy that profession in the minds of anybody that listens to you talk bad about them. I happen to think that the greatest group, the cleanest group of people in this world are fundamental Baptist preachers. And I happen to think it's the finest group of people I know in the world. All of us aren't perfect, just a few of us. And we have some lemons in our midst. But you're looking at a man tonight that has not lost his confidence in human nature. You're looking at a man tonight that's not lost his confidence in mankind. You're looking at a man who's not disillusioned with humanity. You know why? Because I don't know how bad men are. Well, you say, why don't you know? Because I don't listen. People say to me, over the house, isn't it sad? And their deacons have gone astray in our Baptist churches. I don't know. I don't know of any. Why don't you know of any? I don't listen to anybody tell me about them. It's not a part of mine. I don't drink poison, thank you. And by the way, what you drink is going to come out, and what you take in is going to come out. One reason why I'm on top side, and I'll guarantee you, 99% of the time, I'm on top side. And the reason is, I haven't been so stupid to sit there and listen to people feed me a bunch of garbage that'll kill my spirit and kill my confidence in mankind. I'm not going to do it. And I'll help you for a lifetime if you listen to me tonight. It'll transform your life. Third thing it'll take your joy. You ask any preacher in the world. We preachers get together, we often talk about this. You ask any preacher in the world who's a fundamental Baptist preacher, and he'll tell you he can walk out in his pulpit and he can spot the one who's been drinking poison. If I put this up here tonight and I said, I'm going to walk out the door there and I want one of you to come up and drink this. Be careful now. I want one of you to come and drink this. I would not know who did it, but I'll guarantee you within 15 minutes I could tell by looking at you. And brother, any Baptist preacher in the world will tell you he can spot on the face of people who've been drinking poison from the tongue, serpentine tongues of spice salesmen. You can tell it. That looks on their face. It's that starry look. They've been poisoned. And I'm getting poisoned all over my pants. My pants are going to die. But your joy is gone. It's pitiful, too, because it's so hard to get your joy back when it's gone. For 43 years, ladies and gentlemen, I've been pastoring Baptist churches. For 43 years, I've been having people cuss me by the thousands. I'm probably the most cussed and discussed preacher in the world today, but I'll bet you a dime. I'm sorry. I'll bet you a nickel. I'll bet you a nickel that I'm the happiest preacher alive. About the house. How is it possible? I don't drink poison. Your joy. Yesterday morning, a preacher. I know a little bit. Who loves me more than I know him? He loves me. He came to hear me preach in Baltimore. After the service, he walked up and said, "How are you?" I said, "Man, great." He said, "Man, you preach better than ever." He said, "You know what? I got a letter about you. And he said, I've been word sick about you. He said, I'm going to read the statement. He said, I had church visitation this morning, and I tell my people they should never miss. But he said, I chanced it. He said, I'll get criticized for it, but I missed our church visitation this morning because I had to get over here to encourage you. But he said, I hadn't been listening to you 3 minutes before I found out you don't need encouraging. And you encourage me. Wait a minute. You know how I didn't encourage him? He read the letter. He was the one who had the furrowed brow. He's the one who had the look on his face. I hadn't read the letter. I've never read anybody's letter. So I encouraged him. Now, wait a minute. The poison was sent to him to destroy me. It didn't hurt me. It hurt him. So he came over to encourage me. And he said, I feel so much better since I've been here. You've encouraged me. That's because I don't drink poison. Tell what you do. You'll get to the place after a while where folks want to tell you stuff. People say to me, did you about... Oh, you wouldn't be interested, would you? Boy, you say, Brother Howells, that's really being a friend. It's not being a friend. I've been a friend to anybody, been a friend to me.
That's like,
Brother Bordway brings this glass to me and says, did you drink this? I said, no, sir. I won't drink it. He said, boy, you've really been a friend to Bob O'Clair. Bob O'Clair? I'm always going to die if I drink it. I've been a friend to Bob O'Clair. I'm not being a friend to you, by the way, just because I won't take bad stuff. Look, if I hated you, and I don't, I like somebody better than I like others, but if I hated you, I still wouldn't want to know anything bad about you. Don't miss this. If I hated you, I still don't want to know anything bad about you. Because I don't care if I like you or hate you, it's still poison. It's still going to hurt me. And I don't want to be hurt. I only got one life to live. And I don't want to live it sick, dead, spirit dead, joy dead, confidence in people dead. Not me. And that's the reason, ladies and gentlemen, why Dr. Jack Hiles is 64 years of age, been pastoring 43 years, preaching 45 years, and still has as much faith in mankind as he had 43 years ago. You say, Brother Hiles, how? I don't know anything bad about anybody. Did you hear what I said? I don't know anything bad about anybody. You say, well, how do you keep from it? First place, you build a reputation that you won't drink, won't poison. You turn down that stuff. After a while, a fellow won't offer it to you. Turn down long enough. Now listen again, I'm through. You're the guy that's going to die. Your spirit's going to die. Wait a second. Churches all across this nation, fundamental churches, all fighting the same battle. Because the devil doesn't like soul winning. The devil hates that over 7,000 people got baptized here this year. The devil hates the fact that we've had over 23,000 people saved this year. He hates that. Now, all across this nation, your soul-winning churches are fighting the very same battle. And I know pastors that have been destroyed because of it. Because they listen to everything about everybody. But not me. Not me. So, as far as I know, you're all good people. You don't look like it. People watch me all across the country and walk out. They haven't seen me for a while. They watch me to see how I look. And I walked out the other night and I said, folks, listen to me carefully. I acted like I was down. I said, listen to me carefully, folks. And all my friends all got worried, you know. I said, please listen. I need your attention tonight. I said, the truth is you won't believe what I'm about to say. But I said, if I had my choice tonight between your attention, undivided attention, and a love offering, you won't believe what I'm going to say, but I'd take the love offering. And everybody, you remember that night, that morning when I walked in after I'd had my little spell at Bob Jones University? I walked in the door right there, walked up here, Sunday school class, looked out and said, folks, they found out what was wrong. Sickle cell anemia and AIDS. And somebody said, welcome home, Brother Hiles. He's home again. He's back home. Now, the reason, and by the way, you write me notes and say, Brother Hiles, you have no idea how much better I feel. All you folks that laugh more tonight than you laugh watching the Cosby Show. Or Bart Simpson. I know all those people. Cosby is a cartoon character, and Bart Simpson's a black man on television. I know all about that. The folks write me and say, Brother Hiles, I always feel better after the service is over. You know why? Because I haven't been drinking poison. Now, for your sake, not for mine, I'm going to make it fine. But for your sake, don't drink it. Whoever gives it to you is trying to hurt Jeff Owens. Bob O'Clair is trying to hurt Jeff Owens, but he's not hurting Jeff Owens. Unless Jeff Owens... See, here's what we do. Let me have this mic right here. Here's what we do. I'm going to be Jeff Owens. You guys stand up here. Here you are. I'm Jeff Owens, okay? You can tell we're built a lot alike. Okay? So you're going to criticize me. I'm Jeff Owens to him. And here you are. Here's what you do. What do you say about me?
He says you're out drinking his Earl Sapp.
Oh, brother. Why does he criticize like that? Well, I'm trying the best I can to live a good life, and then that guy's criticized me. Why? And here's the way I do it.
I guess I'm
Taylor. Hey, how's your wife doing?
She's doing great.
Well, great. You kids all well?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, every 9 months, right?
Yes, sir.
Great. Glad to see you, Don. Glad to see you.
Hey,
he told you something?
He really did.
Did you tell you how the Cubs are going to do this year?
No.
Listen, I know him, and I'm just not interested in knowing what he said. And that's why I'm on top side. You want... I used to have a guy that walked down the dais with me every week. And he was the most negative friend I've ever had in my life. Right before I'd walk in that door, he'd say something like this every week. He'd say, it's years ago now, years ago. Back when I used to drink a little sip of poison every once in a while. But I used to look for it. He'd say, hold it, preacher. Just want you to know, while you stand behind that sacred desk this morning, this guy's for you. No matter what they say. And I'd look at him and I'd say, what'd they say? And one day I told him, you don't ever walk down that alley with me again. Ever. Again. Because I don't want to know what they say. So I just float around up here in the sky all the time thinking everybody loves me. Every once in a while somebody will holler up and say, hey, you know what they said about you? I think they said they love me. Is that right? I'm as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. Come on in, the water's fine. So quit drinking poison. Shall we stand, please?